You're listening to Play It Again, Swig. I'm Jocelyn Swigger, and I'm trying to learn all the Chopin etudes. I'm also trying to balance hanging out with my toddler, teaching full-time, and life's other distractions. This is my audio diary of that process. Well, it's Friday, September 4th, and I can't believe how happy I am that school has started. Partly it's that I spent all summer healing and writing in my journal and exercising and all these things that are really wonderful, but it was a whole lot of time just me sort of sitting and thinking about my life and processing things. And one of the things that can be hard sometimes to practice well is if you have all day to practice, right? Because it's really easy to do something else. And of course, I still have my constraints where I can't practice many hours a day. But let me tell you that not being able to practice for many hours a day because you have a whole lot of other stuff to do is way better than not being able to practice for many hours a day because you physically can't do it, but you don't actually have that much else to do. So I feel like my focus is so much better, and I wanted to share with you a couple of things that I'm really excited about. One is I knew that I really missed teaching my students, and I knew that I was really excited to start working with the new ones and to work with the ones I've known from before. So I was definitely thinking about the people, but it honestly hadn't crossed my mind how exciting it would be to work with the music that my students are playing. And I'm so excited about the music that they're playing this semester. I have assigned a whole pile of Bach preludes and fugues, and I just feel like you can learn so much from them and about everything, right? You can play them romantically. You can do a ton of stuff about piano technique. The counterpoint is so beautiful. They have weird, crazy dissonances that either resolve or don't. There's just so much in them. So I'm really excited to do a lot of these preludes and fugues. And I've actually assigned quite a few that I haven't played, so I'm excited about learning those. I have a student working on the first ballade, which is always fun to teach, and which I haven't played. And I'll get back to that one in a second. I have a student learning Beethoven Opus 109, which I've never played but have always loved, so I'm really excited about learning that with a student. I've got some Albanese. I've got all this great music that I haven't played that I get to learn along with my students, and I'm so excited about it. So just even little moments of snippets in the first lesson talking about how to practice things, just, wow, this is wonderful music. I'm really thrilled about it. So that's really great. And then the other thing that is exciting and kind of a thrill is I had a little bit of the experience this week that I started this Chopin Etude project to go after. I mean, there were a lot of reasons that I have been doing this. But one of the things that I've really been wanting is the idea that after you can play the Chopin Etudes, everything else becomes much, much, much easier. And I really have found this week that in looking at some of the kind of tricky passage work to talk about how to practice it, my hands know what to do in a way they didn't before I was doing this project. So I'm certainly not going to claim, totally not going to claim that all other music is now easy for me. No. But it was really nice to look at some music that was fairly black on the page, looked a little scary, lots of notes, and then go, oh yeah, I know how to do this, and be able to do it pretty well, and then show my student, right? So I'm feeling very excited about teaching and about the learning that I can do in the teaching. So I'm just thrilled. Okay, along with school starting comes gigantic time constraints. And so here's what I'm doing right now. This seems to be working very well for now. And I'm going to stick with this for about another week, and then I'm going to see how it goes. But I have identified a whole lot of places in the etudes, just sometimes several, but mostly just a couple in each one, that are places I'd like to improve. Either something that feels really tricky, or often, embarrassingly often, a note or a fingering that I need to change. So changes that I'd like to make. So I have all of these little brightly colored post-it tabs. They're not color-coded, but I guess I could have done that. And what I'm doing is I have another big post-it that says start here. So I start where it says start here, and I play each tab correctly 5 times. And sometimes it takes 6 or 7 tries to play it correctly. And I do it slowly enough that I can do it correctly 5 times. And then I'm done with that and I move on to the next thing. And the thing that's kind of great about that is that it lets me touch all of the etudes and have moments of being in depth with all of the etudes in about 40 minutes. Like, it actually doesn't take that long. So then I have a little bit of time when I can play through things and I can check memory and I can think about performance. I do have a performance of all of them coming up in the end of October, so I'm definitely working towards that. But for right now, I'm touching all of these moments, and I'm going to show you what they are. So, just starting from the very, very, very first one. I actually don't have notes that I need to change in the first one. I don't have a tab for the first one. But I am trying to play the first phrase slowly just to remind my hands of how it feels. So that's also, I'll show you, it's this. You can hear I want to rush, but I'm going to try not to. Okay, so that's the first one. The second one, I need to do the B section, so here's my tab. Oh, no, no, no. Now, I actually had a couple of notes that didn't work right, so I normally would do that again, but I'm not going to actually force you to sit through that. So I wouldn't have counted that as one of my correct versions. Here's another one. This is a note that I have to change. I'm totally embarrassed, but so it goes. This is at the very end. I wasn't playing this D. I was playing an E, which is just ridiculous. Easier, but ridiculous. So I'm going to play it correctly now. That means I have to open up my hand a little bit more than I was, and I have to be more careful with the placement. I'll do that one more time. So it really is almost more memory than anything else there. The opening is not such a big deal, but I have to remember to do it. In number three, I don't have any spots that I feel like I desperately need to correct right now. In number four, this left hand, where the left hand comes in with a 16th, is sloppy and not as good as I want. So I've been doing that slowly. So this is this. And then the next one is another left-hand place. There. And then the next one is this thing that just always feels kind of uncomfortable. No. No, 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 no. It's the B sharp. Let me do that again. And I fixed it up here, this note. But I had been playing, right? It's such a subtle difference. But I fix it up here, but then the same thing happens an octave lower, and I didn't fix it here. So I have a big circle around it, and B natural, or B sharp, exclamation point. So let me try and do that correctly. So I wouldn't have achieved my 1 out of 5 yet. I would take most of it, except it didn't land well. Let me do it one more time. No. All right, I have to do that right. There it is. All right, I'll take that as my one. Then the next place is this business. And then there's a measure I sometimes leave out. So this is a memory thing. It's here. this measure I'm about to play, I sometimes leave out. And then it goes here. And then the end, I had to retrain myself because I just kind of forgot what I came up with about how I'm moving, using the left hand sometimes and the right hand sometimes. So he has it written as though the right hand does all the little notes, but I'm not using that. So let me tell you what I'm doing here. So this is, I'm going to say right. No, I'll just say left when I'm using left. Left, left. That's the left hand down here, obviously. Left, left, left. So at tempo, without talking, it's... So there's that. In number five, it mostly is working pretty well, except the end gets sloppy, which is here. I wouldn't take that. Let me do it again. Yeah, that. Okay, I have a tab in number six. This is here. This is an inner voice that I was playing as a D flat that I need to play as a D natural. I'll point it out when I get to it. And there's an F sharp, actually, that I need to be careful about, too. Here. This D, I was playing a D sharp. This is one of these teeny little details that in a way doesn't matter because it's such a small note, but actually I think what he wrote is so much cooler than what I play that I think it's worth going back in and really getting it right. So I actually have two things here. Here's the F sharp. This note. So that's one spot, and then the next spot is, actually I should go from here. And then towards the end, here's a moment where I was playing a wrong note, and again, what he wrote is much better. And by the way, in my own defense, this particular one has 6 flats in the key signature and about 500 flats and sharps that are extra in every single measure, so it's quite difficult to read. Which I'm going to use as my excuse for right now, but then I'm going to fix them. Okay, so here, this needs to be an E. And I was playing a D sharp, I think, before. Which, yeah, that's not right. What he wrote was this. I also have an embellishment that I'm putting in here that I'm practicing, and I want to make sure it's really clear. So starting from here, and then here's going to be my E natural right there. And then I need to restrike this. So there's actually 3 things in that. So let me do that one again. I had been tying it, so it's going... But what he wrote has this tenor line, which is so beautiful if you play the C again. So actually, let me play just that line. And then, isn't that nice? So what I was doing was I was holding this from before so that you don't really get the melodic feel of it. But here is nice. So that's my next spot. Number 7, there are some chords that I had been playing less full versions of. So here, and I think I had been just playing, yeah, I was leaving out some of the inner voices, so I'm trying not to do that now. There's that. And then this moment towards the end, I tend to freak out a little bit just memory-wise, so I'm trying to really solidify it here. And I'm doing this partly by practicing it just in chunked chords. So instead of... I'm actually practicing it. So after I do that 5 times, then I do it. I wouldn't take that. Let me do that one again. take that one. And then at the end, I have to really think about the shape of my hand because they're not all the same. So that's a spot. Number eight, honestly, the thing that I'm most worried about in number eight, which is this one, is that when I get to the kind of coda, this business, I kind of space out a little bit. And the key is actually to really think about what the left hand is doing. And if I think about that as being really melodic, it works. But I'm always a little worried about what's going to happen there. And I would like to not worry about that. I would really like to not worry about that. Okay, there's also another note that I, for some reason, seem to miss a lot, which I would like to not miss because it's kind of important. So this is in the return to the main theme on the third, yes, third page. Oh, no. How long is this thing? On the fifth page. So here we are. Somehow I tend to miss that note more than I would like. So one of my tabs is this. Just to make sure that that's solid. And then the very end, sometimes this part I need. And I have to make sure that I actually play the last note correctly, because it does sometimes happen, which is ridiculous. I mean, nobody wants to hear that. Yeah. So, I can miss little notes that are the little 16ths here and there, but I really should play the main resolution of the main voice. That's the last note of the piece. I think I should play that one right. Number nine... I'm going to need to do a little metronome work with this because my tempos are really super fluctuating, and some of the places are much too fast and some of them are much too slow. So I need to look at that, but I'm not actually doing that right now with my tabs thing. What I am doing is this spot here. I don't have measure numbers in this one, in this edition. I'm working on a Mikuli for all of this. That's what has my forest of tabs in it. Is this place here. That is a spot that I look at. And then I've been trying to retrain myself about dynamics towards the end. So when we have the octaves here. This is kind of a peak. And then he says to be quiet, which I hadn't really been doing. He actually even says sotto voce, which means, quiet voice, kind of muted. But then he says double piano in the next measure, so here's where I'm going to put the soft pedal down. So what I'm training myself now is to get ready for the soft pedal, because I have to have my foot up by it. So when I'm playing this business with the peak, to be also getting ready for the soft pedal, which I don't use yet, but now. And then off, and then on. So that's a spot that I'm trying to reach. I'm trying to train my foot where to go for that. Number 10. Here is a spot. Is that right? Ah, here it is. So this is a G flat. This note is G flat here. And then here it's G natural. So. That's a spot I'm trying to train. Okay, and then in number 11, these are all the Opus 10, by the way. I don't know if I said that. In number 11, there are a couple of memory spaces that I have found myself freaking out and doing the wrong one. So I'm just trying to be really clear. So the first one is this. So here's the first glue, which brings us back to the beginning that we're going to do again. And then the next spot that needs glue there is, let's see. And this one goes to a different place. No. Yeah, so that's the second one. And then the third one is... No, goodness. There we go. And then it comes to here. And then the other thing is at the very end... This goes down to here. And then I'm not sure which inversions happen here. So it's here and then this. Okay. And then in number 12, I don't really have any spots that I felt were sort of triage worthy for a tab for now. In 25, number 1, there are a couple of inner voices I want to bring out more than I am. So here's one. There we go. And then this one. No. So I'm trying to work out those spots. Here's a place where I had a wrong inner voice. That's a spot. And then on the next page, these are all inner voice moments. Here. And then here's another one coming up. No. So there were a couple in there. I'm not going to play what I was playing wrong before, but there are a couple in there that I'm trying to get right. So that's... the very end of this one. I had been playing the last chord in the wrong octave, and it's so much more beautiful the way he wrote it. Oh my gosh. So he's just doing this. So I had been playing this. And then this. But listen to what he wrote. Isn't that so beautiful? It's so much better. Okay, in number 2, I don't actually have any spots that I feel desperate about in number 2. In number 3, one thing I had been playing number 3 way too fast. It's about. I think that's about the tempo, and I think I've been playing it. So now this part is a lot easier. Now I'm retraining this thing that's coming up here, this left-hand place right here. I hadn't been doing that. I had been doing instead of this, it's this. So my spot is and then the next one, there are some cool inner voices that I hadn't been really paying enough attention to. So here. So here, for some reason, there suddenly are four voices instead of three. I don't know why he made that change there, but he did. So I am trying to, trying to honor it. No, goodness. Yeah, so this really, that's the spot. Here's another moment where I was resolving a little bit too soon. With that. And then the next one is, let's see. This is a sort of tricky sequence. And then it does the same thing an octave lower. So that's a spot. In number four, it's kind of just the main left-hand lick because it's so easy to play wrong notes. So I try to play the first few bars. That was not good. Let me do it again, a little slower. I'm not going to torture you with how I torture myself with this, but it is actually getting better, but it's as you can hear, it's not where it needs to be. Then there's a couple of other places. Here's one where I'm trying to make sure I do the inner voices right. Here's another one. And then here's long voices. So I don't know if I told you about this. I think I did a long time ago, but I actually have words and a story to this that, you know, sometime if we're ever together near a piano and you want to ask me about it, ask me about the doomed love meeting at the zoo story in Opus 25, number four. Here's a place where I want to do a deceptive cadence too early, but he doesn't do it. So what he wrote is, this is at the end. This is the note that I wanted to do something different, but what he wrote is this. I'm not going to take that. There were a couple things wrong with it. Let me do it again without talking. In number five, this is kind of like in Opus 10, number 11, where there's a couple of places where I can go off track and jump to much later in the piece if I don't watch out. So I'm trying to keep track of where I am. So the first place is this one. Which, by the way, is under tempo, but I also need to work on getting that faster. But this. Then it goes into the little waltz place. And then the ending of this section. So same thing, but going to here. Oh, no. Before it goes into the middle section. And then once we get into the middle section, I mostly am okay, but there are these really beautiful inner voices that I want to make sure happen towards the end of it in the 16th. So here's these. Isn't that cool? So we have this one and this one. Let me try that again, because I didn't do the left hand quite right. Oh, and then here, there's kind of this at one of the climaxes of the piece, I had a note wrong, and so I'm trying to read to learn. I wanted to go back to the A, but what he wrote was, so it's this, and then it resolves there. Okay. The thirds, there's a couple places where I'm needing to change my fingering. One of them is here. I need to use four here. And then it's much easier. So actually, the spot is. Ugh. Gonna do that again. Another spot is. This one is pretty easy because it's. It's all white keys, and you just kind of make your hand like it's on a stamp pad, and you just kind of wiggle your way down. And then you do the same thing on the next one, but there's all these pesky black keys in the way. So I'm practicing it this way. And then here, this moment, I tend to just kind of panic, have tended to kind of panic. So here I'm doing this with clear accents. And then, okay, then the next spot in number seven is here. Honestly, one of the things here that I haven't quite worked out is where I should kind of put my emotions, because I think that that's the part of the piece that the audience wants to be feeling things the strongest there, right? Like it's this gigantic peak and this sort of overwhelming rush of emotion. But every time I try to kind of put myself in that rush of emotion place, I stumble. So I think this is going to have to be one of those places where I'm going to have to actually pull myself back a little bit, so that the audience can have the experience, and then I don't get to have the experience, which maybe is a little bit of a drag for me. But I think I need to fasten my seatbelt there more than I have. So that's why I'm doing this tab. Okay, next spot is I've been trying to do just the opening of number eight. Just to remind myself of that left hand business. And then here's a place. So here I had actually been not playing all of the, oh dear, there, all of the notes. So here. And then at the end, I had been doing the final chord, one of the final chords in the wrong octave. And again, what he wrote is way cooler than what I wrote. So here's this climb. And then I need to jump all the way down to here. So really, what the spot that I've been practicing is this. To here and there. The next spot is some left-hand chords that I had been taking out some of the inner voices that I don't want to anymore. There. So these. And then at the end, this is another place where I would get a little bit confused about where in the inversion of the chord to land. So I'm trying to really train that. So here. And then once I know to come here and here, all of this is fine. But one of the things that would happen is I would play this note, and I wasn't sure if I should go here or here or. But once I do that, it's fine. So Let's see. Let's see. Yeah, then it's fine. Okay, the octave still just feels like such a gigantic climb, and I'm trying to play through it every day and pay attention to especially my shoulders and my body and see how it feels. And nope. This piece is sort of all about my shoulders and just making sure that I don't let them get tight. Oh, all right. I have to take the B section at a much slower tempo than I've been practicing it, just so I can give myself a break before the Winter Wind Etude, honestly. So I think I'm going to have to really reframe how I'm thinking about it. The audience is probably going to need a break at this point, too. Oh, it just feels too slow. I have to work it out. I need to listen to a whole bunch of different recordings and see what I think and what I like. But for now, I'll just play it the way I've been playing it. Stop there. So if you notice that I just stopped working on my tabs and I actually started playing, that's honestly a pretty fair reflection of what happens when I get to this piece, especially if I start from the beginning of Opus 10 number 1. My concentration does go a little bit sometimes. All right, here's a spot. This is a memory thing. It's going to be slower than this, but I'm just showing you. And then it's fine. So really just making sure that I know what's happening here. And then in the Winter Wind, which is so big, here's a spot. That's better. Here's a spot, I think I told you about this last time, where I took out a note and it's so much better. Listen to this. Okay, this is a spot that's driving me crazy. After we resolve here, we resolve in C major. And sometimes it's completely easy and delightful and beautiful, and sometimes I feel like I'm just completely tense and half the notes don't sound and it's a mess, and I honestly don't know why. I don't know why it works when it works, and I don't know why it doesn't work when it doesn't work. I need to videotape myself doing it, and not videotape, I'll use my iPad, but you know, and I probably need to get somebody to watch me do it. Let me try it again. See, it stumbled. Nope. Anyway, that's a spot. Another one is here. And that one's getting much better. Here's the kind of equivalent to the place where I took out the note before. Here I'm not taking out the note, but it works better in this key. And then that's fine. I mean, as much as it can be fine. This business is a mess, and I'm tired by the time I get to it. That's a spot. And then this. I haven't decided if I'm going to give in to the hemiola or not here. Because it's much easier to do one, two, three, four, five, six, and then. Instead of one, two, three, four, five, six, one, two, three, four, five, six, one, two, three, four, five, six, one. Right? So do I know what I should do, like big air quotation marks should do is. And then. And then it makes sense. Honestly, I'm not sure that I can, but I'm working on it. So this is definitely one of my spots. And just to be really depressing, that's quite a bit under tempo, actually. Here's a spot where I learned a note wrong that I'm trying to fix. This B flat. I had no idea until pretty recently. I was playing in, what was I playing? I was playing an A flat, which works nicely as being the seventh, but then you don't really hear the root of the chord. You gotta have the root of the chord. So here's what he wrote. So I'm working on that. Of course, it's harder than what I was playing, but so it goes. All right, and then this place where both hands happen together, and it's really exposed, so it would be nice for it to not suck, let's say, is here. See, the left hand gets really smooshy and doesn't work. There's that. So those are the 24. Oh, no, they're not. I'm totally lying. There's a couple spots in the last one, too. Oh, right. Inner voices again. I don't really play it that fast. When I'm practicing, I'm just getting impatient. This inner D in the bass, I hadn't been doing correctly. And then this is normal, and then there's another one coming up. This F minor chord. And then this. And then this is normal. Normal meaning it feels normal to me. This is fine. And then coming up here, this A flat in the left hand here, this note. So those are some of the spots. And then, okay, that's it for the big 24. And then I've been tending to play through the three Nouvelle Etudes because I still am wanting them to have the experience of the memory be really clear. But I do have a couple spots, especially in the last one. So I'll show you where those are. Let's see. Starting from here. I don't actually know why I have a tab there. Why do I have a tab there? I have no idea. I have no idea where that why that tab is there. I'm going to take it away. I'll probably put it back as soon as I practice the next time. Here's another part towards the end where I'm keeping track. Here I need to come down to A flat. I had been just coming down to the G flat. which works, but he wrote this. And it's kind of comforting to know that what he wrote is better than the mistake that I made. It makes me feel better about fixing it. Here comes another one. And then here it's fine, but then here, this one's different with octaves in the left hand. To make sure that I do all these inner voices. So let me actually do it like it's musical instead of talking. And then I kind of love this ending. Okay, so that's what I'm doing in the practice session for now. In about a week, I'm going to start playing through Opus 10 and Opus 25 as a set and working on the sort of triage places, which are probably going to be still the Winter Wind and the Octave. I still feel nervous about those. But I'm going to be carrying on with my tabs for now. And that's the plan. So that's it. You can find out more about this project at my website, which is jocelynsmicker.com. You can follow me at jocelynsmicker on Twitter. I'd love to hear from you if you're listening to this podcast. And thank you so much for being my practice buddy.